It's Morning Edition here on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Marshall Terry. In the early 20th century, Gastonia was home to one of the largest textile mills in the South, the Luray Mill. It grew to employ 3,500 workers, and most lived in the surrounding mill village. The neighborhood's ties to the mill stayed strong after the company stopped providing housing. In fact, it's still strong 22 years after the mill closed and accelerated the community's decline. Today, the neighborhood and the mill are in transition. The mill has been turned into loft apartments with ground-level retail on the way, but developers say this isn't another example of gentrification that pushes out longtime residents. As part of our block-by-block series, WFAE's Gwendolyn Glenn looks at the mill's redevelopment and the hopes that it will save the neighborhood.
15 years ago, developer Billy Hughes was renovating historic sites in the South when his partner in Atlanta talked him into traveling to Gastonia to check out a rundown 600,000-square-foot property. It was the Luray Mill.
I saw it from about a mile away and just fell in love with it from the day one. The great brick structure, the towering stair tower that overlooked the entire valley that you could see for miles. We knew at that time that we just had to figure out how to get it done.
That was in 2005. Hughes and his partners drew up plans to carve out 300 loft apartments. Those plans stalled a couple of years later when the Great Recession hit and financial credit lines dried up. Mill Village residents like Irma Stiers, who's lived in the house she was born in for 59 years, felt the project was desperately needed to save her neighborhood.
We were thinking that we're at the end of it. There's nothing more for our neighborhood. And that we were going down because it was all the people left.
But developer Hughes says the delay had its benefits.
As we dug into it a little bit deeper, we understood better the passion behind the building, the historic significance behind the building. And as we met the townspeople here in Gastonia, we fell in love with the whole area.
It took 9 years, but when the recovery kicked in, the developers secured the $60 million they needed for the project.
So many people just can't believe that this is the same building.
Lucy Pennegar gives frequent tours of the five-story mill where workers turned out bed sheets and later tire materials for Firestone.
This was where the drive wheel was. This great big wheel ran all the equipment in all six floors.
Pennegar talks about the mill's negative past, too. African Americans were only hired to do the low-paying and most dangerous jobs. They couldn't live in the mill village. Many young children worked there. And in 1929, a violent strike at the mill attracted international media attention.
We really hid this history for a long time. We pretended like it didn't happen. It was a bad time for Gastonia.
Pennegar proudly shows off the 20-foot exposed ceilings and shiny concrete floors that replaced buckle splintery wood flooring. The brick walls, thick century-old beams, and floor-to-ceiling factory windows are still intact throughout the complex. Expansive long hallways of the former production floors are lined with taller-than-normal doors that lead to one-, two-, and three-bedroom apartments. Mill Village residents say they are glad to see the mill renovated because the renovation is about preserving a part of the residents' history.
Have a seat.
Sitting on their front porch across the street, Gladys and Carl Carpenter can look directly at the mill. Gladys's father worked there, and the family lived in a four-room Mill Village house.
My daddy bought it from the company, and we bought it from him before he passed away. So a lot of memories around here.
Carpenter also worked at the mill for nearly 10 years, starting when she was 16 years old.
I was a spare hand in spooling, warping, and winding. I worked on the third and the top floor. But I was so blessed to have a job.
After the mill closed, Carpenter says it became an eyesore. The grass often went uncut, vagrants sometimes broke into the building, and over time, the mill village deteriorated as homeowners moved out, slumlords came in, and crime in the area increased.
We're just thankful that to see somebody around, knowing that somebody's looking over this way sometimes. It's because it was so empty, for so long.
I think it's wonderful the way they got it fixed up, boy. It looks good. I wish it had happened earlier, don't you?
Soldier Zummer Stiers next door, whose grandparents and father worked at the mill.
Hello.
Her family had been thinking about moving.
The conditions had got so bad. People were constantly taking stuff from our yards. If it was outside, it was gone. Our furniture, we had to chain it to the porch. But we don't have that now. we're turned around and everything's just great and we're so happy because we have no desire to go anywhere else.
That's what developer Hughes says he wants to hear. He wanted to create an environment that welcomes the surrounding community. He hopes the planned public gym, brewery, and other retail will bring Mill Village residents and others into the mill's public spaces. There's also an interactive digital gallery space under construction to document the mill's history. Hughes hopes all of this will make the mill the epicenter of the community that it was years ago.
We look at this as reestablishing an icon within the city and the county, something that will provide an economic impact significant enough to bring more jobs out this way, to provide quality housing out this way. It is not our intention to displace people or replace the population here.
In steps to Group Preservation North Carolina. Firestone donated the mill to them after it shut down and they sold it to Hughes. The organization's president, Myrick Howard, says they secured a $500,000 loan to buy and renovate Mill Village homes with the exterior designs intact.
We're trying to knock out the vacant houses. The street that we're looking at, five houses on the same street, you know, drug deals and prostitutes and whatever tend to cluster around vacant properties like that. And what we hope to do is sell these houses with restrictions that require them to be owner-occupied and limit their future size so that they will stay small houses. And we think that'll have an anchoring effect on this neighborhood.
They plan to have a model home to show millennials and empty nesters their target buyers. The renovated homes will go for about $100,000. Jack Kaiser is Preservation North Carolina's project manager. He was also the planning director for Gastonia for 17 years.
Right now, the neighborhood is 75% rental and 25% homeownership. We would like to see those numbers flip. The mill is a perfect fit in terms of being a 80% residential and 20% commercial space. It certainly works hand in hand with the neighborhood. I mean, I don't think you really have one without the other.
Hand in hand, side by side, depending on each other. That's how the mill and Mill Village have coexisted, something the developers and preservationists hope will continue so they will not just survive but thrive. For WFAE News, I'm Gwendolyn Glenn.